meeting to order, and today we're using a gavel made from buckthorn.
Hey.
Oh,
and pretty nice wood. Maybe we should be growing more of it. I don't know. We'll see what the folks have to say. Today it's an informational meeting more than anything else about buckthorn and invasive plant species. And Representative McNamara brought some folks in today. We'll be hearing from the industry and some folks from the agencies if they have anything to comment on. And Representative McNamara, do you want to introduce some folks that you have with us today?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I really appreciate the opportunity to bring this issue forward. This is real important, the whole invasive species issue. And we're going to talk first about buckthorn and some other species are going to be mentioned. And we have some great testifiers. We have both the Department of Ag and DNR here to also testify. And they're going to give us some good information on how important it is that we be on the forefront of dealing with some future pests that are already encroaching on our state and bring the awareness of the buckthorn, which in my district is just about everywhere, and it's doing a lot of bad things. And I thank you, Chair, and your staff for bringing this forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative McNamara. And first of all, before we get started with testimony, we'll be approving the minutes. Representative Otto, have you had a chance to look at the minutes?
Yes, I did.
Okay, Mr. Representative Chair. Otto moves the minutes. From Tuesday, February 3rd, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion prevails. Minutes are approved. Okay. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record.
I'm Gordon Bailey, Bailey Nurseries in St. Paul.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Thank you to you and the committee for the opportunity to visit with you.
Please proceed.
Go ahead. Okay. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Anyway, Mr. Chair, as far as questions, of course, we want to entertain questions at some point. How do you want to do that?
At the end of your testimony.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we recognize the time constraints, so we'll be as brief as we can, and Mary will tug on me when I get too long here.
Well, thank you for that, and I should mention to the members, too, that we will be out of here at 11 o'clock. We have to be done by 11 o'clock today.
Why are we here? I think, number one, to raise awareness of the problems of invasives in general, and that there can be things done about them, and that the state needs to get involved. You get terrestrial plants and animals, aquatic plants and animals, and there's a zillion examples that I could give you, but buckthorn is the one that I'm going to talk about most specifically. The other purpose would be to provoke some discussion about the issue and how the state might get involved in addressing it and helping to prevent and alleviate the problems with invasives. And I'd have to say that I'm not here with my own axe to grind. We're in the nursery business. The nursery business could somehow benefit from invasive control, but I, long before that ever entered my mind, I got interested in it because these invasives are harmful to the environment, and buckthorn, which is the one that I'm particularly interested in, has done a great deal of harm and has the potential to do a lot more. The history of buckthorn, just very briefly, and this is just an example of many invasives, and it's the one that I'm most familiar with, so the one that I'd like to talk about. It's been around since the 1800s. It's a native of Eurasia. The planting of buckthorn was promoted by the government and by our nursery industry up through the 30s, starting in the 1800s. My grandfather planted a buckthorn hedge in Pioneer Park in Newport, which is still there and very effective in producing more little buckthorn. And then you got a half a mile of hedges right in front of the state capitol here, believe it or not. It's time to get rid of that. It is very widespread. Mary will address that. It's pretty much all over the state. The best time to recognize it is in the fall. And for those of you that aren't familiar with it, it stays green when everything else has gone dormant and started to color up. And if you make a point of looking at the landscape in here, anywhere in the metropolitan area and throughout much of Minnesota, you will see that it has taken over woods and woods edges, roadsides, highway right away, and so on. It's a little bit about the characteristics. It's a very prolific cedar, and you can see here's an example that Mary just put in front of you. It's allelopathic, which means that it suppresses other plant growth around it, which gives it an advantage over everything that it's competing with. Grows everywhere, wet or dry, sun or shade. It's aggressive. It's a very persistent plant. Goes on for, seems like forever. Very hardy. As I said, it's very competitive. And most importantly, it's very invasive. And a couple days ago, I was up at the Capitol, and I was up by the Gas Gilbert parking lot just behind the Capitol. And there's a nice little prairie planting up there. And what do you suppose is in it? Buckthorn coming in. Believe it or not, just within a block or two of the Capitol. What does it do? It replaces natives, becomes kind of a monoculture, and so eliminates the diversity where it takes over. It affects not just other plants, but it affects all the things that plants, that are dependent on plants, birds and wildlife and wildflowers, and that list could go on. It's not as attractive as the natives. As I said, it just turns green and then it drops its leaves. Doesn't have any prominent flower. It, other than making a good wood for a gavel, I can't think of anything else. But I'm glad to know that you're using buckthorn gavel. It's for agriculture, it's a problem. It's an alternate host for the soybean aphid and the oat rust. And I think it could in some way affect the forestry industry. My experience, I've killed thousands of them myself and with help from others. My daughter says that I have a vendetta against buckthorn. I think that's an apt description. I killed a lot of them around my home in Newport on my own property and on adjoining parkland and in Dodge County where I have a farm. And both those areas, I've killed thousands of them. It's very labor-intensive effort. It's expensive, chemicals and chainsaws and equipment. But the key is that people have to be aware of it, and then you got to have the motivation to do something about it. But you got to be aware of it first, and that's where I think the state can help. I am encouraged by the results. I've had 100% kill. I've seen the natives come back strongly. So we can do some effective control. There is a lot of follow-up required, of course. There's still going to be lots of seed bank around. If the state does nothing, if nobody does anything, there will be continued proliferation, and the thing has, it has just skyrocketed in prominence. Since I was a young kid in the woods 40 years ago, I didn't see it then. Now it's everywhere. What can government do? Well, the education I mentioned, I think awareness, public awareness is a huge factor. Those of us that are very involved in it are very aware of it, but there's most of the population, I don't think, knows a buckthorn from a petunia. Research, partnerships, various actions. I think I'm out of time. I'm gonna turn it over to Mary, and I'll be happy to answer questions.
Okay. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
My name is Mary McGuire Lerman. I live in St. Paul, Minnesota, and I'm here representing two different groups. I work for the Minneapolis Park Board as an environmental coordinator, and I'm also president of the St. Anthony Park Garden Club in St. Paul. But I want to point out also that in the audience we have representatives from St. Louis Park, Edina, Roseville, Bloomington, Three Rivers Park System. We have a lot of people very, very interested in this topic. And I've traveled around this state for many years, and if you look at the maps inside your packet, you will see that common buckthorn is literally in every county in the state. There's a few counties that haven't been surveyed, but this survey is 2 or 3 years old. You go up to Engertower Gardens in Duluth, you will find it on the outskirts there. If you travel to the metro area, Washington County is just inundated. You go south to Rochester, you have an activist by the name of Norm Erickson who works with the master gardeners there who created these buttons that we gave you today. And they are working on education there. If you go to Ortonville on the Dakota border, you'll find Bob Dibvig working on it. And if you go up to Crookston, we've just done a training up there. I didn't think we'd have it in Crookston. We have it in Crookston. We have it everywhere. So it's a problem plant, and it's not just a metro area issue. So I'm here to speak for Minnesotans who are very concerned about invasive species, and there are also animal, insect, and disease invaders that are going to be discussed by MDA shortly. The attached packet of information gives you a lot of basic information on buckthorn. You'll notice that there is a direct link between buckthorn, soybean aphid, and those wonderful Asian ladybug beetles that are bothering everyone in the fall. But our biggest concern is there's really no source here in the state where communities can get help to provide funding. And we need to do that so that we can set up some type of a matching grant basis because we have communities and individuals, garden clubs, master gardeners willing to get out there, start the efforts to start saving some of our woodlands from this pest. You have to understand what the possibilities are here. If we don't do anything to control buckthorn, and you have severe storms go through an area and knock down your mature trees, all you will have is thickets, so that eventually when they do the fall color forecast in October, they'll be saying everything's green out there. Because this does not allow replacement oaks, maples, other trees to come in. So we actually are going to destroy our forests if we don't get this under control. Now, before I make a couple suggestions on how you can do this without raising any new taxes, I want to introduce one individual from the gallery. Anna, would you stop up? Stand up. Anna is who created this wonderful poster on the front of your publication. Her teacher did a curriculum this fall on invasive species. And Anna was so inspired, she thought this would be a great way to get the message out. So thank you. Here's my ideas for doing some fundraising here. We currently, on our Minnesota state tax form, have a box called the Chickadee Checkoff that would benefit wildlife. I'm suggesting that we create a buckthorn box and that the funds that go into that be used for invasive species control here in the state of Minnesota. And I'd want a portion of that to be involved with education and awareness, because we have to stop these plants just as they get into the state. In this fall alone, multiflora rose has invaded Houston County, and we have a patch of autumn olive loose up on Lionel Lake's exit at 35W. So we've got two more woodies that have just shown up in the state this year. The other portion of that fund I would like to have distributed to communities on a small grant basis for them to get efforts started. And I would recommend, because we now have a new council here, or it's just a couple years old, Luke, we have the MISAC, the Minnesota Invasive Species Advisory Council, and I would recommend that would be the group that would review grant applications and deal with awards. The other option to consider would be to work with the LCMR and to set aside a portion of those lottery funds to be used exclusively for invasive species small grants for communities. And again, I'm recommending that if that were to go through, that MISAC would be the appropriate committee to be reviewing those grants.
Mr. Chair, Representative Tinglestad.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To that point, LCMR, are you intending to submit a request for the application process this month?
No, but this is good to know. I didn't know. We'll talk. Why don't we chat afterwards so that I can find out more about this? Because there are plenty of people out here in the audience that would be willing to work together to get some of these proposals going.
Thank you. And their office is just around the corner.
Okay.
You need to get it in soon. And otherwise, it's 2 years from now they'll accept applications again. So I'd recommend you doing that. Thank you.
Okay. The other concern I have is actually about one particular herbaceous weed that has just shown up in the state in the last 2 years. And I haven't discussed this with MDA, but I want to encourage the legislature this session to pass a law banning future sale of Dames rocket, either in seed or plant form. It's mainly coming in by seed. It's a member of the mustard family that people call wild phlox. But if you hit 280 in late May, early June, and go between 94 and Kasota, you'll see it in there completely. And it's primarily coming in with seed mixes, wildflower in a can seed mixes that are being sold by catalog and by businesses here in the state. So that would be an easy one to shut down before it becomes a real nightmare. But just take a look at 280 because the university is already researching that infestation. Finally, I've been trying for years to make the public aware of the hazards of buckthorn. And my husband pointed out the famous quote from Yoda from Star Wars. He says, there is do and there is do not, but there is no try. So I'm here today to ask you to do something for the state and for its native plants and its native animals. And it's not just buckthorn, it's all of these invasives we have to look at. And we have, is Geer coming up next? Geer and Luke Skinner are going to also talk to you about these issues.
Thank you. Questions? Representative Wassler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was intrigued by the comment about the invasive mustard plant, and it seems to me last year, my memory isn't that good, but we actually lifted the requirement that we use native species in plantings by the DOT and others. I wanted to get a comment from you on that, because it seems to me any species that is not native is by definition alien, and the legislature, I believe it went through this committee, Mr. Chair.
Representative Wasluck, we did have a bill in this committee to do that. We did not take up the bill. The Transportation Committee tried to bring that up through their bill, and we shot that down. That didn't happen.
It didn't happen. Okay. It's good to know. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You were curious about are all the other plants, aliens? What you have to realize is that there's this 10% rule. Is that 10% of the non-native plants that we grow have the potential to become invasive. But actually, of that 10%, only about 1% of them become invasive. So the huge number of plants that are being grown by the nursery trade in general are not a problem. But we're in the process with the Minnesota Department of Ag of setting up procedures now for introductions on new plants, as far as not just finding out if they're hardy, but also if they have potential for great seed dispersal. So that's in a committee over at MDA right now. But yes, luckily that law did not pass last season.
Mr. Chair, you'd concur that it'd be a good policy to use native species when doing our plantings, DOT. And Mr. Bailey, perhaps you have a comment on that as well.
Well, I would reiterate what Mary said, that there's only a small percentage of non-native plants that are invasive. There are many non-native plants that are used commonly in home landscapes, parks, and highway plantings that are not native and are very effective.
And if I could just add, it's really critical along our highways that we do use native grasses and wildflowers because they're deeply taprooted. We won't have as many erosion problems and we'll protect our water quality without having soil runoff.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just, Representative Wasluck, you bring up a real good point and it's a good discussion to have. I think the word native sometimes gets misused grossly. Just think of our two of the most popular evergreen trees around Minnesota in the metropolitan area. You would think of the Black Hill spruce and the Colorado spruce. Both of them are not native to certain areas, but they're terrific plants. So, and I would argue that they are native to certain areas and are very beneficial to our local environments. And as Mr. Bailey alluded to, of when you take a plant and you take a group of 100, as Ms. Lerman alluded to, 10% have the potential to be invasive, and of that 10%, only 10% of them will actually have that happen. So what we have to be careful is that we don't draft legislation that affects 100 plants when we're only trying to deal with one. And there's a group that works closely with the industry and with Department of Ag and DNR that has a model for invasive plants and how we should deal with them. And I think we have to let that group continue through the industry and through the agencies work together so that we're careful in what we do. And I think that it worked in the case of the issue that came up last year was only the use of native seeds along DOT. And there was an effort to try and get control of cost, where in the past we probably had too much regulation on some of the counties and cities in how we were requiring them to do things, and we took a good look at that. Native plants have a lot of great benefit, and the use of the seeds, et cetera, are very good. And so I think this is good discussion to have, and it shows how we need to be afraid of some things that we have introduced years ago, like the common buckthorn and what it potentially, and I believe we're going to hear from both DNR and Department of Ag, you know, there's some other ones out there that are scary, and what has happened with buckthorn we don't want to have happen in the future, and that's our hope with this committee to bring it forward to everybody as the other issues too. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative McNamara. And at this time, I'd like to bring those folks up from the department because we're running short of time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Bailey and Ms. Lerner. Morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself.
Chairman Hackbarth, member of the committee, thank you for this opportunity. My name is Geer Friso. I'm the section manager for plant protection programs with the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. Should I just proceed?
Please continue.
Thank you. I have a short PowerPoint, and I will shorten it even more so we make sure we have time for DNR. I appreciate the comments from Mary and Gordon, especially with specific to buckthorn. I was going to try and provide more of an overview of invasive species in general and how the department responds to those issues. Generally, invasive species, we consider anything that's a non-native animal or plant pathogen that has a negative economic health or environmental impact. And on your slide here, this is a picture of carnal bunt on wheat. This is a disease that does not exist in Minnesota, but it exists in the southern U.S. If this disease came into Minnesota, it would subject wheat growers to quarantine provisions. Some other agricultural pests include Caprifer beetle, soybean rust. Soybean rust is probably the single most biggest threat to agriculture right now in North America. This is a disease that's showing up in South America. The department is working very hard to keep it out of Minnesota, and at the federal level, they're working very hard to keep it out of North America. Probably one of the biggest, some of the biggest pests that we are concerned about that have probably gotten a lot of press that many of you may be familiar with include gypsy moth. We had an active eradication program last year. Emerald ash borer, this is probably the one that scares us the most. 13 counties in Michigan and Detroit area have been quarantined because of this pest. And an Asian longhorn beetle, the states of New York, Illinois, and New Jersey have together, just those three states, have spent $350 million trying to eradicate this single pest. The costs of invasive pests are huge. There's economic costs associated with the treatments. There's quarantine costs. If you're a nursery grower and you're quarantined because of a particular pest, you can't do business or compete with other people outside that area. And then there's a direct loss or reduced vigor to crops and trees because of these pests. Some of the experts have estimated that the cost to the economy is over $100 billion annually. And then there's an environmental cost. Things like gypsy moth, they degrade the forest. They create an unseemly place for us for recreational activities. And frankly, they alter the native species. Chestnut blight is a good example. Chestnut trees used to be widespread in the upper Midwest. They've been completely wiped out because of the blight. Dutch elm disease is another example that pretty much wiped out native elm trees. We are fearful that emerald ash borer is the next pest on the horizon that will wipe out the ash tree population. The state agency roles, generally MDA has lead responsibility or authority for terrestrial invasive species, and including gypsy moth, soybean rust, and DNR generally takes the lead for aquatic invasive species. But I should have added, DNR also has authority for overall forest health issues. So we work cooperatively and very closely with them on forest health problems such as gypsy moth or emerald ash borer. We have formed, as Mary mentioned, an invasive species advisory council that's co-chaired by between MDA and DNR. There's 30 members from various agencies, and that group has been very effective. We do a lot of monitoring. This is a gypsy moth trap. We put out about 15,000 of these traps across the state looking for gypsy moth. Some of the biggest ones on the horizon that we are very concerned about are gypsy moth, emerald ash borer, and soybean rust. This is the gypsy moth. It's probably the biggest threat to overall forest health just because of the huge number of trees and shrubs that it can eat. And this is a photograph. This is not a picture of early spring. This is a picture in the midsummer. This is the kind of damage a gypsy moth can do to forests. And our goal, gypsy moth is going to get to Minnesota, and we provided you a map of where the gypsy moth front line is. And we are simply trying to delay the introduction of gypsy moth. We had a large treatment in last year. We also, in 2003, we had four major quarantine breaches, and this is where nursery stock was brought in from eastern states or quarantine states that was heavily infested with gypsy moth, came into Minnesota, and then some of that stock was further disseminated, and we've been following up trying to figure out where all that stock went, and that's been a huge drain for our resources trying to address those introductions. We do have an infestation, very small, in Edina that we will be hoping to treat this coming summer, and then there's a more diffuse population in Winona County that we are hoping to treat. Gypsy moth is survivable, and if you go to Michigan or gypsy moth infested areas, there's still trees there, even though they get a little bit messy. Emerald ash borer, by contrast, this is an insect that actually kills trees. It kills all ash trees, and it's right now, Michigan estimates that in the Detroit area alone, 7 million trees have been destroyed by this insect alone. There's been recent populations that have been popped up in Maryland and Ohio. This is the ash tree range, and you can see Minnesota is very much in the ash tree range. Our native species are primarily black, and it's really not of great economic value, but it has an environmental value. Probably more importantly, the urban forest, if you drive around, the predominant tree species is ash, green ash, and those urban forests are very susceptible to this particular insect. It's estimated that nurseries and others have lost $10 million because of the quarantine in Michigan. One grower is reported to have lost over $1 million. The state of Michigan has spent $14 million on EAB and has requested an additional $47 million from USDA. Finally, eradication costs are estimated at $350 million. Let me skip through this. I just wanted to mention this is an ongoing situation which is still evolving right now. Last year, there was a detection of geranium cuttings coming from Kenya, Africa, and it was determined that they carried a disease called Ralstonia. Ralstonia is a very serious potato disease. It does not exist in North America. It exists in Europe. We were able to determine that there were 14 nurseries in Minnesota that received this stock. We found that three of them were positive for the disease, and we had to have them all destroyed. This year, there were nine nurseries. It was found the same situation, but this time plants were coming up from Guatemala. They also contained this disease. This is some pictures of the greenhouse. This is actually last week in the middle of that nice cold streak we had, and this is how we destroyed them. Staff had a good time in the minus 15 degree weather destroying the stock. But you can see this is a huge impact to the nursery industry dealing with this, but it was important that this stock be eradicated before this disease gets into the environment and affects the potato area. And here is some disinfection going on. And then lastly, I just wanted to mention, this is one of our, we hope is a success story. The DNR and the university detected a western forest pest up in the Cloquet area. and it was found that there was a pharmaceutical company was bringing in logs from Montana, and they were accidentally introducing a western forest insect into Minnesota, and we were concerned that it could affect eastern larch species. We worked with that business, and we developed some compliance agreements. We put in some sanitation measures, and we had some blackout periods for shipping, and our trap results for last year, we only picked up one insect, so we're hopeful that this is an example of an insect that we caught in time and prevented it from coming into Minnesota. And just some other things that are on the horizon, we are looking at, there's an infestation of sudden oak death, which is a fungal disease in the Pacific Northwest, recently discovered. We have a lot of oak trees in Minnesota. We're very concerned about that. Asian longhorn beetle, we continue to survey, looking at points of entry and warehouses. And then soybean rust is probably the biggest agricultural pest that we are very, very concerned about. And a lot of this increase in invasive pests is just really the result of increased global trade, just as more people moving around. Last year, we very much appreciate that the legislature passed a plant protection law that strengthened our authorities and abilities to respond to these kinds of pests. We are talking internally about other things that we could possibly do to increase our abilities and resources to respond to some of these pests.
Thank you very much. Any questions? We would like to get the DNR to come up also, so if there's no questions, we'll move right into Mr. Skinner. Welcome to the committee.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Thank you for having us up here today.
My name
is Luke Skinner. I work with the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, Division of Ecological Services, and I work in the Exotic Species Program, a program that's been around for more than a decade, and we typically focus on aquatic plants and wild animals, including zebra mussels and such. But the Department of Natural Resources manages hundreds of thousands of acres of land statewide in our forests, wildlife management areas, scientific and natural areas, and invasive plants in particular, which I'm going to kind of focus on today, is a big part of our goal is to reduce the impacts that these species have on our environment. Our three goals in the program, Exotic Species Program, first is to prevent the introduction of new species into the state. Second is to minimize their spread within the state. And third is to manage the impacts that these invasive species have on Minnesota. And because we do that, we also work with other species. I mean, a big ones that we worked on in the past, which you know about, are Eurasian water milfoil, purple loosestrife. A new one coming down the pike is garlic mustard, which you'll be hearing more about, and of course, buckthorn. In the state, our parks people and our wildlife managers are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to manage many of these invasive plants on their properties, and with some good results, but it's very short-term in nature many times and very localized. On a landscape level, many of these species, like buckthorn, are so widespread that it's important also to try to develop new techniques. And as we've heard of all the problems with these species, as I focus on buckthorn, just to give you an example, that we hear that, you know, all this time and effort is needed. One of the things that the Department of Natural Resources tries to do to address some of these issues is first, is we do education. We go out, we speak at meetings, we provide best management practices, and we try to continue those, update our website regularly on this information. So we try to do the education portion in a large way. Secondly, on this, one way we can provide help in the management, especially on private and local lands, is to provide technical expertise and help people with their problems and help develop a plan to do that, and it can be through best management practices. But also, a goal is to develop new techniques of managing invasive plants. In this particular case, we're talking about the use of insects or biological control to control invasive plants. We're obviously using it right now to control purple loosestrife, which is becoming one of our biggest successes in the state, along with leafy spurge. And those are both ones that are worked collaboratively with the Department of Natural Resources, the University of Minnesota, and the Department of Agriculture. So these are all programs that are coming down the pike. Currently, we have funding through the legislature, as recommended by the LCMR, to continue to do exploratory work in developing biological control for European buckthorn. And that's one of our goals. If we can provide new tools down the road that might help in this management. And currently, we are funded for this biennium at $109,000, and we received actually in contribution to that $50,000 from the United States EPA for that. Previous to that, we started this research as a collaborative, and EPA was our main focal point. They gave us $75,000. The state DNRs and MDA put some money in, along with Bailey's Nursery Foundation, Minnesota Nursing Landscape Association, and several other groups like that. And so we've had a nice collaborative effort to develop this. As we develop these tools, we'll help in the long term, we hope, if this can be successful. Biocontrol is not a sure thing, and we have to make sure that it's not only safe, but effective, and it takes time to do that. So I have no ideas now if that's going to happen, but that's one of the goals that we can do. So the DNR can provide those kinds of assistance, not only to our own staff, but to other, you know, local communities to manage their efforts. And this is one of the things that we can do from that.
Thank you very much. Any quick questions? Thank you very much.
One last comment. Somebody asked about LCMR for the next go-around.
Yeah.
We do have a proposal going in to continue the buckthorn biocontrol research work, so you will see that coming out.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll be probably seeing more of Mr. Skinner and Mr. Friesel as we have some bills coming forward this session. Any other questions that we have on this issue? If not, I would like to state that next Tuesday, we're going to have a presentation on trails and where the Minnesota DNR is on the forest reclassification. We're going to be looking that over. And on Thursday, then we're going to be taking up some bills. We're going to have three bills that were on the general register that were sent back to our committee, and we're going to be looking at those and sending those back to the general register in the House. So, anything else? Oh, yes. I'd like to recognize that there are other students here, too. Anna, of course, that did the cover of the presentation, and very good job. And she's from Coon Rapids, and that cardinal is the logo for the Coon Rapids Cardinals at the Coon Rapids High School. And if the rest of the students from the Coon Rapids Learning Center would like to stand, we'd like to give you a thank you very much for being here. Good job. And if anybody has any issues with this and you want to talk to me or you're going to have some bills on this issue, please come forward. With that, meeting adjourned.